Welcome in to a Thursday afternoon edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. We are talking the Nets' season-ending defeat against the Boston Celtics. The juiciest notes to come out of exit interviews, which, spoilers, there weren't a lot of them. And maybe some other stuff. We'll see. We'll get into it next on the Locked On Nets podcast.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are tuning in to the Locked On Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Gavin Shaw. After 4 years covering the Phoenix Suns, I moved back to my native New York with the weather. Thank God. It's finally starting to turn around. I am alone again on this one. My boy Josh, our co-host, friend, I would even go so far to say, is still in Georgia on business, or possibly lying to me about being in Georgia on business. I don't know. I sent a couple PIs after him, so we'll see what that turns up. Anywho, it's just me on this edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, and it's kind of bittersweet to be doing this one without Josh, because we are recapping a regular season Nets game for the last time for the next, when's October? October is the 10th month. It's currently April, so about 6 months until we recap another Nets game. Boy, that's wild. Anyways, the end of the Brooklyn Nets season, a sad end to the Brooklyn Nets season, losing to the Boston Celtics B team 110-97. And this one to me, I don't want to say the result was predictable, because that's giving the Nets too much credit. They had a definite talent advantage in this one, and it should have at the very least gone down to the wire. Instead, they kind of flopped after an opening 4 minutes where they got 10 points. They only scored 37 over the next 24 minutes. So the opening output equated to about 120-point night. Mid-first to beginning of the third quarter output equated more to a 74-point game. So the offense fell off the rails. But I guess the reason I'd let the Nets off the hook a little bit, they were without the services of Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris, and Damari Carroll, three guys, if any, this season that have clearly made a positive impact on the Nets, and the Nets are consistently better when those three are on the court in some form or fashion. So give the Nets a little bit of a break there for losing those three, and give the Nets a little bit of a break in that, like, this was almost like maybe it's too harsh to call the Celtics team a G League unit. It would be like a G League All-Star team, would maybe be fairer to say. Like, I guess, like, the only guy who's definitively in their rotation who played is Aaron Baines, and I guess Greg Monroe is on and off, so maybe give him that title too. But regardless, to say that this was not the Celtics A team, but they did match up exceptionally well with the Brooklyn Nets, given that they just threw a lot of size, physicality, and defensive versatility out there. And in my mind, they kind of bullied the Nets in this game. Like, the Nets beat them at times with quickness and skill, but they just got out-physicaled on the offensive end. And the guy who epitomized that was Aaron Baines, who got off to such a strong start in this one. 14 points, 7 rebounds, typically a great night's work for him. He got to those benchmarks in the first 9 minutes of this game, and actually outscored the Nets over the first 9 minutes of this one. It was 14-13 at a point, and that's pretty embarrassing considering Aaron Baines is not exactly a powerhouse of an offensive player, but he was just a lot stronger than Jared Allen. They didn't really have anyone else in there to box him out or make a good effort on him, so they kind of resulted in Aaron Baines looking like Shaq. And then you had Gershon Yabusele, Abdul Nader, Jabari Bird, Semi Ojeleye, Kadeem Allen, all just really physical, tough, smart defenders, and they executed Brad Stevens' game plan to perfection, and that resulted in a really tough night for the Nets. But let's take a second and remind everyone listening to submit some mailbag questions. I don't even know if probably by the time you've heard this, I will have sent out the tweet from the Locked On Nets account asking for mailbag questions. You can respond there or on the Nets Reddit page, where I will also make a post. But it's been a few months since we did a mailbag. I thought the end of the season was a good time to bring that reoccurring feature back. And you can ask any questions you have about the Nets season or the Nets offseason. But just stay tuned for that. It's something I'm really excited about, because it makes for a fun podcast. And it allows me and Josh, assuming he ever comes back, to focus on what you guys want to talk about. And that's ultimately our priority here. So we'd really appreciate it if you submitted some questions either via Twitter or via Reddit. You can also email the Locked On Nets account, lockedonnets@gmail.com. Really appreciate it. Thanks. We are back on the Locked On Nets podcast. I am Gavin Shaw, your solo host for this episode. The Boston Celtics finishing off a snake-bitten season where they've suffered quite a few injuries. Kyrie Irving done for the year with their B team knocking off the Brooklyn Nets, 110-97. The two relative bright spots in this one, Allen Crabbe and Nick Stauskas, the duo combining for 34 points. Crabbe didn't do well from two-point range, 0 of 3, but was absolutely on fire from behind the arc, 5 for 10 from three-point range. And he wasn't even necessarily getting the type of looks he gets when the Nets are playing well and pinging the ball around. And we mentioned it becoming kind of a reoccurring issue with him later this season. It hasn't mattered the last four or five games because he's just been scalding. But he's gone further and further out on his threes and hasn't necessarily been getting quite as much separation as he was early in the year, though I think that's kind of a consistent issue with him and maybe a product of him being a 6'7 guy who's harder for him to just get lost running around screens the way like a Steph Curry does. Either way, Crabbe just a high degree of difficulty on his three-point attempt because the Nets weren't generating a lot of penetration, weren't getting a lot of ping, 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 swing the ball around the perimeter sequences. Instead, it was a lot of Crabbe working off the dribble and taking tough pull-up threes, and even the ones coming off screens were usually pretty tightly contested, and you got to give the Celtics a little bit of credit for that, but he was still able to go 5 of 10 from three-point range, and I think that and this four-game stretch kind of signifies what Crabbe can be if he really works this offseason at continuing to get stronger and more consistent and figuring out a way to have his form be the same every single time he shoots the basketball. Because ultimately, that's the path for him to live up to his contract. I mean, I know the Nets didn't have to pay the full extent of it and Portland got the first year. But that's the reason you give a guy over $70 million for them to be able to create offense efficiently by themselves and not necessarily just be a gunner. And now if he reaches Kyle Korver or JJ Redick levels of proficiency at running off screens and hitting threes, then yeah, that's another avenue for him to make that contract worth it. But I think the reason the Nets signed him to that offer sheet initially and why they traded for him without getting a first round pick back were because they thought he had upside as an individual creator. And we've seen that more and more as this season has gone on. He only ended up having 3 assists this game, but a couple of really nice looks to Jared Allen in the pick and roll, including one no look from beyond the arc that split two defenders that really stood out to me in the way that his vision is improving and his ability to get to the rim has improved all year. And it hasn't necessarily been linear, but NBA improvement rarely is. I mean, you want to see signs that a guy's starting to get it, and more often than not, he's able to attack the basket, make plays off the dribble, make plays moving the basketball. So I think we saw a little bit of that in this game, and I'm hoping Allen continues to move in that direction this offseason. Again, Nick Stauskas, the other guy who had a pretty solid game, 6 of 12 from the field, didn't shoot well from 3, still able to get 18 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And he's someone who hasn't really necessarily gotten the benefit of having a consistent role since being traded from Philadelphia, but I usually like what he does when he's on the court. The issues are he doesn't really play a lot of defense, and he is a little bit of a ball stopper at points, though he'll make nice passes, but it's kind of similar to D'Angelo Russell, where he won't necessarily get those hockey assists that start sequences that lead to open threes. He's either driving for his own shot or driving to create an immediate assist, and that I think that caps his value a little bit as an offensive player, and that's probably part of the reason why he hasn't found a stable role in the league yet. But he's still relatively young, and that's something that can continue to improve. And I know me and Josh just like a week and a half ago talked about whether or not he'd be back in Brooklyn next year, and obviously it's highly dependent on if another team really values him, but I could see him coming back as a deep bench guy on this Nets team and being pretty good in that role, because the whole thing is the one part of his game that has clearly he's clearly made a dramatic leap in is his ability to get to the basket and finish creatively. Two dunks in this one, right over, I can't quite remember who was at the rim, but he dunked on someone pretty well and like stared him down after. I think it might have been Jabari Bird. It was a really good play, and he's shown a lot of creativity around the basket, just even beyond dunking the basketball, the ability to finish with either hand, to adjust in midair, to use his body to shield defenders. And that's a big deal, because if you're a gunner in this league, and I mentioned, like, obviously the JJ Reddicks, and I think an even better example is the Kyle Korvers of the world, you can survive just shooting threes. But if you're even a notch below that, you need to be able to leverage your shooting into getting to the basket and making plays at the rim, and Stauskas is doing that. So I think he's kind of, obviously you'd like to see it against, with bigger minutes against better players, but he's starting to prove his bona fides as a NBA scorer, and it's just on him to diversify the rest of his game and see if he can continue to improve, and that'll determine how long his career is. But I think he's someone who could feasibly be back next season. No one else really playing that well. Hollis Jefferson was really bad early and then didn't really get back in, missed his first four shots, ended up going 0 for 5 in 18 minutes and not scoring in this last game of the year, which is unfortunate, because I wanted his season to end on a good note with all the improvements he's had this year, but again, won't really define him one way or another. D'Angelo Russell, who was on a really good run of games, not particularly well, and as is often the case with him, this one was kind of defined by how well he shot the three ball, 1 of 5. From behind the arc, had a few nice assists, but generally not one of his better efforts. And then the bench, universally pretty disappointing. Dante Cunningham, Quincy Acey, both made some nice plays on offense. Mozgov was fine in garbage time, but not really the collective effort you would have wanted to see from Brooklyn in this final game of the year. The Celtics had a 15-0 run in the first quarter. The Nets made like a little bit of a comeback and cut it to 4, but just got really, really sloppy to finish up the second, and that continued into the third, where they were down by as many as 23 points, and that was essentially the game. All right, quick shout out to Jared Allen, finishing this season with the highest field goal percentage ever for a Nets rookie. Good for him. And yeah, that's about all I had on the game, so I'll take a quick second to remind you about all the other great podcast. Baseball season getting started. The Mets, unfortunately, in my mind, because I'm a diehard Yankees guy, off to a great start this year, 10-10-1. You can check out the Locked On Mets podcast, Locked On Yankees, fully rolling. They had a brawl with the Red Sox last night, and they beat them. So that's a good 1-2. Shout out to Tyler Austin for not getting punched after falling down charging the pitcher. Good for him. And Locked On Giants, Locked On Jets. It's about draft time again. Both teams looking to take a quarterback. I really hope the Giants don't take Josh Allen, and I wish they'd take Baker Mayfield, but I know they're not going to. So give me Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold or Saquon Barkley so I can only be moderately upset. And I am listening to Locked On Giants and Locked On Jets to find out the latest on where those quarterbacks are going and everything to do with those two teams. So we welcome you back into the Locked On Nets podcast. The Nets had their exit meetings today, or I believe they refer to it as a baggy day in Brooklyn. Shout out to Anthony Puccio, who I'm going to try and get on the podcast at some point this offseason. Had a near miss earlier in the year, almost got him. He had a pretty cool outfit that you could see on social media. And it was a relatively, the reason I'm bringing him up first is that it was a relatively uneventful media day for the, or rather exit interview day for the Brooklyn Nets. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I listen to every second of every interview, because they tend to be pretty tedious with the same questions being asked to each guy. But what stood out to me more than anything was Joe Harris saying he wanted to stay in Brooklyn. And that's a pretty common refrain. I mean, like, unless like a relationship is totally fried, like, you'll get that question a lot from pending free agents. And they'll almost universally say, regardless of what the situation actually is, that they want to stay with their current team, because that's just easier, and everyone forgets about it by the time they sign with someone else. Or at least that was largely my experience covering three of these in Phoenix. But I think what was different about Joe Harris's one was he gave the details of the fact that he had reiterated to his agent time and time again that he wanted to stay here, and he's talked about it quite a bit with Kenny Atkinson and Sean Marks, and he feels like they're all on the same page in regards to his free agency. So unless the Nets totally try to lowball Joe Harris, and I think they understand his value, this is a guy who had the best field goal percentage on drives in the NBA this season, which is a pretty stunning statistic that we've oft referenced on this podcast, and had the best three-point percentage above the break in the league this season. That a pretty stellar combination that you can't really question. It all added up to him, at least amongst role players, being one of the most efficient scorers in basketball. So shout out to Joe Harris, and I think he's someone the Nets value. He values what Brooklyn gave to him in terms of giving him a shot and the player development that's clearly worked so well for him. So I can't imagine he's going to go anywhere else unless something dramatic happens. So we'll see how that goes. Jeremy Lin saying he's like kind of had to rebuild a lot of the mechanics of how he operates on the floor, including his shot following his injury in the first game of the season. And I know Kenny Atkinson mentioned last night that he was really stunned with how physically fit Lin was and how far along he was in his rehab, just working out in Boston pregame last night. So that's obviously good, and I wouldn't expect anything less out of Lin. I mean, that's been the story his whole career, an incredibly hard worker and a guy who's willing to put in that grind. And I would be surprised if he's not 100% healthy to start next season. That obviously creates a glut at the point guard position. That's going to be one of the biggest focuses of this offseason. And it's kind of surreal for me because this season, I mean, time in general flies by for everyone, but this season went really, really quickly for me. And I know it was something Ian Eagle and Sarah Kustok were talking about in the broadcast. They kind of noticed the same thing. And it's weird to think that it feels like a month ago, but it was actually 6 months ago, we were just talking about how this glut at the point guard position and how the Nets were going to figure it out. And obviously it solved itself to a point with Jeremy Lin getting hurt the first game of the year. But the whole thing with that is the question was never really totally answered. And now we just have to ask all the same ones again this offseason. So a little bit of deja vu for me. I'm sure Josh will agree with that when he is back on the podcast, but we will get into that and more this offseason. As far as the podcast going forward, I'm not 100% sure if we're going to be doing it with quite the same frequency these first few weeks of the offseason. But we're still going to try and put out like 3 a week, obviously starting to dip a toe into the draft and free agency. And I think we're going to spend like a good portion of every podcast just talking about the NBA playoffs, because obviously that's what's current. And we like talking basketball, and we hope you guys will still be willing to tune in to that, even if the podcast isn't entirely net centric. But we'll see. I'm not sure if that's going to be a thing, so we'll hold the horses on that one. Anyways, most importantly, mailbag for the next podcast, probably Sunday, I would guess. It's my birthday Saturday, so it might not be in tip-top shape for that one, but we'll try and get one out for you, and we'll see what kind of questions we get. All right, until then, be well. Enjoy the good weather. Get out there.